Matthew 24, verse 36, Jesus Christ says, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." He's talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. No one knows the day or the hour that Jesus Christ will come. We know that it will be suddenly. We know that it is imminent. It could happen at any moment. There is not another thing that has to happen in the Bible before the rapture of the church, the beginning of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Nothing else has to happen. Everything has been fulfilled. So here we are. The next great event of prophecy is the coming of Jesus Christ. And Jesus here says, no one knows the day nor the hour, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now in verse 37 it says, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." God gives us such a good illustration here. During the days of Noah, it had never rained. Noah had taken 120 years to build the ark, which God had commanded him to build. And Noah kept preaching, "Christ is going to judge us for our sin." But the people would not listen. The people's hearts were hardened. So one day, after Noah built the ark, it took him 120 years. One day, for the first time ever, it begins to rain. It had never rained on the earth to that point. It begins to rain, and you can only imagine what the people began to think and then began to fear as the rain came, and it came harder and harder, and it wouldn't let up. And the water, no doubt, began to run through the streets into the homes. Then you began to have flooding. The Bible says that it rained for 40 days. Now, the point being of this illustration is the people did not know when the rain, when the judgment of God was going to come, but it did come. And when it came, they were caught by surprise. They were living their normal life. They were eating and drinking and going to marriages, raising their family, going to work, and they were oblivious to the fact that God was going to judge them. Now, what God is saying to us, what Jesus is saying to us now, is that the second coming of Christ will be the same way. People will be eating and drinking and going to marriages, doing the normal things they do every day, and suddenly Christ is going to come. Verse 40 says, "Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come." So Christ is giving us a warning. He is coming. We do not know the exact day or hour, but we know for a certainty he is coming. He says, therefore, watch. He said, some will be taken when Christ comes, and some will be left. Now, I want to take you to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we find a very interesting passage here. The Apostle Paul is talking to young believers in Christ, and they had been taught that Jesus was coming, just like we're talking about. As they waited for Christ to come, they thought in their lifetime, many of their believers, their brothers and sisters in Christ, began to die. And they began to ask this question, well, what's going to happen to these people who have died? What's going to happen to them? Because we thought Christ is coming and he's going to set up his kingdom here on earth. Paul says, listen, I don't want you to be ignorant of this. I want you to understand it, that those who have died in Christ, those who were Christian people and died, they will be buried. And when Christ comes back, he will bring them out of the grave and take them up to meet him in heaven. And at that point, they'll receive a new resurrected body. Then those that are alive, those who haven't died yet in Christ, those Christians who haven't died, then Christ will take them. So first he'll take those that have died, then he'll take those that haven't died, and they'll meet him in the air. Now we call that the rapture. And I want to read it to you in the Bible. It says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So here's the promise. Jesus says, I will descend from heaven. I will not touch down on earth, but I will descend from heaven, and those that have died in Christ will be taken out of the grave to meet me in the air, and then those that are still alive in Christ, I will gather them up, and they will be caught up together in the air to meet me. The rapture means to be caught up together. So we see here the coming of Christ, the rapture of the church. Now the Bible teaches us when the church is raptured out, all people who have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, then all the folks in the world at that point will be unsaved. Now the Bible teaches us something here, that when the church is taken out, then God will pour out his wrath on this earth because he is angry with our sin. This is known in the Bible as the Great Tribulation period. The Bible says there has never been and there will never be a period like this 7 years when God will pour out his wrath on the earth. The suffering, the destruction will be like it has never been before. Let me give you an example. In Revelation chapter 16, it says, and there were thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not seen since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. The Bible says that the suffering will be so great that men will cry out for mountains to fall upon them. They'll cry out that they could die, but God's wrath will continue to be poured upon this earth. And this is for people who refuse to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. And instead of receiving Christ, have decided to worship the Antichrist. In fact, the Bible says when the church is removed, that the Antichrist will be raised up, and we believe their Antichrist will be raised up in Europe. And he will perform many miracles and do many wonders. And he will declare that he is the Christ. And the world will be deceived and will follow him. And that he'll go into Jerusalem and declare that he is God. The Bible calls that the abomination of desolation. Near the beginning of this great tribulation, the Antichrist will sign a peace treaty with Israel. And if you just watch current events, Israel would give almost anything today to be at peace. They're surrounded by the enemy. And it says the Antichrist will come and promise peace to Israel. And when they promise peace to Israel, that during the first 3.5 years there'll be peace, even though God's wrath will be being poured out. And then at the middle of the 3.5 years, the Antichrist will enter in to the Holy of Holies in Jerusalem at the temple site, and that he will declare that he is God Almighty. The Bible calls that the abomination of desolation. And the Antichrist will break the peace treaty with Israel, and the last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation will be a time in which no one has ever seen things so bad. Now, there will be some people that get saved during this great tribulation. The Bible says that 144,000 Hebrew men will get saved. They'll realize that Christ really was the Messiah, and they will get saved, and they will become evangelists with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they will be protected by God, and they will go around the world preaching the gospel, and millions of people will get saved. Now listen to this. In Revelation 1, as the 7 years comes to an end, in Revelation 1 verse 7, the Bible says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. So be it. So what we have is the rapture of the church. The church is caught up in the air and removed from this earth. And then we have 7 years where the wrath of God is poured out upon the earth. Earthquakes and storms and lightning and hail from heaven and darkness and suffering. Men will be filled with terror and fear and plead with God to die. And then at the middle of that tribulation period, the Antichrist will declare that he is God in the flesh. And then at the end of the second 3.5 years, at the end of the great tribulation period, we have the coming of Jesus Christ. And I just read it said, "Behold, he cometh in the clouds, every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." Because all the people will realize this is the Christ, this is the Messiah, this is the Son of God, this is Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, and they'll wail because they've missed him. They've worshipped the Antichrist, the false Christ. And now with Christ coming in the air, we read in Revelation 19, where the Apostle John says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood." Oh, Jesus suffered and died for us. He shed his precious blood that we could have eternity in heaven. In verse 15 it says, "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron." This is a description of the second coming of Jesus Christ. In verse 16 it says, "And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." I started this program by saying to you, when Christ came the first time, he came as a servant. He came to be sacrificed. He came to be our Savior. But when he comes the second time, he will come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He will rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. And the Bible says in Zechariah that when Christ comes at the second coming, that death will come so suddenly to those that are remaining here and that have rejected Christ, they will be dead men standing. That the power of God will take their eyes and their mouth and their tongue, and they'll die so quickly they'll still be standing. In fact, the Bible says that the blood from the armies that have gathered around Jerusalem from all over the world, that they'll die so quickly that the blood will gush from them and the blood will run bridle deep to a horse in the valley of Armageddon. And I'm sure you've heard people talk about the Armageddon, the battle of Armageddon in Revelation 16:16. It says, "And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon, the valley of Megiddo." Oh, folks, you do not want to be living on this earth during the great tribulation period. You want to get saved now. You want to know Christ as your Savior now, because God is going to come. God is holy and just, and he will not allow millions and millions of abortions. He will not allow millions and millions of people to be mistreated, to be raped, to be murdered, to be lied to be extorted. He will not allow that without his coming judgment, because he is a righteous God.